people seem to think it's a big deal. It's not. You know what I mean? If you know what you're doing, it's no worse. I keep saying it's no worse than an electrician when he's working hot, you know, with live wires. He knows what he's doing. Usually, when you're looking for mines, it's fine. Because, you know, when you're looking for them, you've got a mine detector out, blah, blah, blah. And when you find mines when you're not looking for them, which usually means somebody stood on one, that's a whole different issue.
Take me back to the days in Vietnam when there was danger everywhere.
It's different, you know what I mean? You're out patrolling and whatever, or ambushing and one thing or another, and then unfortunately some poor bugger stands on one. Well, that's a whole different routine then.
Every day you must have expected that you might die that day.
When I had the opportunity, I lived life to the utmost, put it that way. It got me in a lot of trouble, that, when I was a young bloke. What, socialising, shall we say, when the opportunity arose.
When you got back to Australia, how were you feeling then?
I wanted to be back in Vietnam.
You describe a moment when you were sitting at your parents' kitchen table. Your girlfriend had gone to work,
yeah,
they'd gone to work.
Well, what the hell am I doing here? You know what I mean? And I really didn't want to be there. So then I found myself sitting in an RSL at 10 o'clock in the morning, totally lost.
Now, your life took a bit of a spiral. You certainly drank a lot, to put it mildly.
Yeah, I did.
What was going on in your mind during those years?
Well, I don't know. I've had it explained to me by a psychiatrist. So I used to drink to feel normal. But in the end, that drink to feel normal, I was drinking 3 bottles of vodka a day. And I realised I was killing myself. That's when I decided to do something about it. That's a bit over 10 years ago.
Now, you went to Cambodia and things really changed in your life then. Tell me what happened there.
I went over with a mate of mine, Jack Miller. Jack was involved with another group at the time, and I'd run into him down in Adelaide at a troop reunion, and he was said he was heading off to Cambodia. I raced back to Brisbane, got myself a passport and went with him. That's when we met Geraldine Cox, blah, 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 and that young kid that sort of affected me.
Can you tell me that story now?
Well, we went to the orphanage. This was the old place, and Jack had taken a soccer ball along, and he was pumping it up one thing and another, and he went to give it to this little boy. He would have been probably 2.5, 3 at the outside. And his mother had dropped him and his 2 sisters off. She couldn't feed them. My husband had been killed in a mine incident. Geraldine, he was looking at my tattoos, and Geraldine said, "You got any more tattoos?" I said, "Oh, a couple on my chest." He said, "Do you mind taking your shirt off?" So I took my shirt off, and this little bloke staring up at me. And she decided to get me to give him the ball. So I picked him up and put him on a table. So I was eyeballing him. I wasn't looking down at him because I couldn't squat down because of my knees. Anyway, I gave him the ball and he put the ball down between his feet and he bowed to me in Khmer fashion, you know, with his hands together. And that sort of, you know, got me in the heart, that one. I don't mind admitting I shed a tear that day.
Right.
I mean, you don't get respect out of kids like that here in Australia. That's just, you know, the difference in the society.
So how much time do you now spend over in Cambodia doing the mine operations?
Well, I've only been home about 5 weeks and I'm now going back on the 31st of this month and I'll be home for Christmas on the 11th of December.
And tell me exactly what you do when you're over there.
Well, I'll go out to the minefield and work out there with the boys. Yeah, we've got a Cambodian crew and currently through my organisation, the BVMCT, we fund, you know, pay all the wages and whatever. Mind you, a Cambodian miner's only on $150 a month and he spends like 7 hours a day in the minefield for that sort of money.
And is there any danger at all now that you've got your own methods of doing it?
Oh, there's always a danger. I mean, humans are prone to having accidents and making mistakes. You know, the way things are done, it's pretty much as safe as you can possibly get it.
It must feel really good what you're actually doing, that you're able to help.
No, I mean, I know what I'm doing. I enjoy it. I've got the knowledge and the experience, and I'm putting it to good use.
When you look back on the war now, and like considering the work that you're doing, digging up, you know, what the war caused, really, all those minefields, is your attitude to the Vietnam War changed at all, or to the Viet Cong?
No, I've actually got a mate I go and see. It was a Viet Cong in Vietnam, and up in the Long High Mountains, and then in 1970 we'd have blown each other's head off. Now I go up there and visit him. Irrespective of the politics, he was doing what his country wanted him to do, and I was doing what our politicians wanted us to do.